How you doing?
Not bad.
Oh, not bad, Colin. Also, welcome to Dark Guidance. I'm Chris.
I'm Brian.
I'm Colin.
I'm going to remove this.
And this conversation's name is Jimmy. Jimmy is exiting the building. Oh, Jimmy just had a bad day.
Jimmy's
fine.
Jimmy's
indestructible.
Jimmy's our guest member of this podcast.
Jimmy, silent member.
Don't care.
Yes. Well, we've had enough audio-visual recording parts where we tested it out by playing Fire Emblem Heroes. And by playing, I mean more like slot pulling.
So hopefully the intro will have been one of us slot pulling from Fire Emblem Heroes. And the outro will be the other one pulling from Fire Emblem Heroes. So you'll be able to hear some great audio on both ends. Hopefully by the time we do Brian's pulls, we'll have advanced our commentary a little bit to try and get some kind of sort of context and flavour to it.
Agreed. Alternatively, you know, we could talk about War Machine, that game.
Yeah.
I thought we were going for a crippled system feel this today.
What do they do?
Not talk about anything but War Machine.
Oh, really? So what do they talk about? Judgment?
Video games?
They should talk about Judgment.
I don't think they've ever even mentioned it. Or they have once during the Kickstarter.
Bastards.
I can't honestly remember. I know a couple other podcasts have talked about it, Chain Attack.
It's a good game. Should play it.
Yeah. Jay's getting pretty enthusiastic about it.
Yep.
So.
That's good.
A couple of things. Unfortunately, the first request we did for the year, we unfortunately lost it. And we might play you a clip of it because it effectively sounds like a new genre of music, which has been described as... Brian, how would you describe it, actually?
Chris talking to a blender.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Chris talking to a blender.
Well, standing inside a wind tunnel of some sort, I think.
Yeah.
Or possibly a bigger blender.
It's kind of like, I'm going to say, a bit like Hardstyle, except even more discording.
Yeah.
If Chris was, his personality was subsumed by a colony of bees.
Nicolas Cage was somehow put inside a blender, and Chris was emptied into that blender.
No. And if Chris only was able to communicate to the buzzing of the bees, that would be what it sounds like.
Excellent.
Yes. So unfortunately, you couldn't hear all...
sentient crispy.
Yeah, indeed.
Bee Chris?
Oh, God.
Sentient...
crispy.
I'm not jumping in on a fucking colony of bees, guys.
I mean...
I'm not that dedicated to the cast.
Dark Guidance gives this caster a bee.
Bees. Is that what we do for casters we don't like? Is we condemn them for the bees.
They just get bees.
They get bees. Literally.
That's a bee caster right there.
Yes. Speaking of bee casters that you're disappointed with, Colin, how was CanCon?
I was disappointing. My casters weren't disappointing. I was disappointing.
So, to the bees with you.
Yeah. So, CanCon was on the weekend, and many congratulations to Hado for running an awesome event yet again. And spending his spare time trying to corral the thousands of cats that wander through CanCon on a regular basis.
In addition, congratulations to Whaley for winning everything forever.
Spoiler alert. I guess I can just skip the whole thing where I tell about the tournament and like who won it and stuff.
True, but...
Brian, cut that out.
Funny.
Just replace everything that Chris says in this cast with excerpts from last cast. That's just us talking and then in the background. Alright, so, CanCon. I went with Minions. I went with two lists for the Masters event on the Saturday, and then on the Friday, actually, wasn't it?
Friday.
And then two lists for the Champions event. So my two lists for the Masters event were Rask, who I think is still the strongest of the casters in faction.
Yep.
And I paired him with... And this is actually confusing me a little bit, because I'm pretty sure I paired him with Caliban, but I'm not 100% certain. I don't remember what I actually played as my second list.
I'm pretty sure it's Caliban.
I'm pretty
I don't remember playing Caliban at all that day.
It usually is Caliban, because basically...
You didn't have to.
I intended to, though.
Yes, you intended to also play Caliban at the WTC.
Yeah, no, but that was a whole different thing. So this time around, I lost round one, so I think I was kind of thinking... Anyway, I played Rask. Rask is an exceptionally good list at the moment, and unfortunately, round one, I played against Brian.
Hi!
And Brian was playing a list with two units of ambushing bears, which I noted during deployment, then promptly forgot about, moved my first turn. Well, he went first. I moved the bottom of one, moved my first turn, left Wrong Eye within 14 inches of one side of the table, and left Dahlia within 14 inches of the other side, inexplicably without Haunting Melody up, because I went, I really need Mistwalker so that this snake can run into this bit of terrain.
So that my Glacier King couldn't shoot it.
No, no, it wasn't stealth. It just gives it prowl.
Oh.
It was just so it could move into the terrain. Yeah.
Well, okay. Wow.
So that was the only reason I did it.
Wait, snakes aren't base pathfinder?
No.
That doesn't make sense.
I know. Anyway, so we did that, and then the bears came on, and then Dahlia died, and Wrong Eye died, and I was 34 points down before I started the game. And then I fought manfully for four turns and lost. So that was good.
Bears were a good unit, guys.
Yeah, that was a strong start.
Bears make me feel so bad about Murder Crows.
That's fair. Bears are significantly better than Murder Crows. If Grimkin could take bears, that would be so much better.
But let's be honest, right?
I believe there's enough people with nightmares of bears now where that should be a thing.
Let's be honest, right? Like, you've had great bears. They've had their time in the sun. Yeah. But now it's time for the greater bears, which are actually just bears.
I think best bears.
Best bears. They're BB, best bears.
Yeah. Or drop bears. I was happy with
drop bears. They're drop bears.
They are a very, very disturbing type of drop bear.
Yes.
And if you don't know that they're coming, they are a major, major problem.
But Colin, you knew they were coming.
I knew for 5 minutes at the wrong time before it made a difference. So I lost that game and... I'm not going to lie. I felt slightly sort of out of
salty.
It from that. No, I wasn't. I wasn't salty. I mean, salty kind of implies that I feel like something was done wrong by me. I just felt disappointed. Okay. I wasn't angry. I was just disappointed with myself.
That's fair.
That sounds like what you'd tell a child.
Yes. Yes. And that was how I felt.
Fair enough.
That starts to describe my. After yours.
To be fair, for listeners viewing at home, is that's like getting mauled by a drop bear. That is the appropriate reaction from parent. It's not that you're angry. It's not that you're sad. You're just disappointed that the kid didn't appropriately...
did not wear the appropriate amount of Vegemite in their hair before leaving the house.
And did not appropriately respect the threat of drop bears during their mating season, which is all the time.
So game two went better. That was against, I think, Signar, from memory. And game three and four were likewise better. Like, Rask, it's a really good list. I think if I'd played it very well for the whole day and not fucked up, it would have been a much different tournament for me, and I would have hoped to make the top four. I didn't. I went 3-1, and that was not enough to get me into the top four because there were four undefeated. So I ended it, I don't know, somewhere in the middle of the pack. That was a bit of a pity. I thought, no worries, champions is the next day. That'll be fine. I had a bet going in with Tomo, who was going to be on this cast, but will be on some future cast to talk about Retribution.
Retribution.
I can't believe I hadn't come up with that previously. It fits
so
well.
Retribution is more faithful to the actual faction.
Yeah, but Retribution works so much better linguistically.
But Retribution does work better linguistically, and it's more apparently the belief of current America. So.
True.
Yes.
So anyway... because of that bet. So the bet basically originated because when I was looking at CanCon, I was like, I have this Midas list that I like to play that has 30 brigands in it. It has like 50 odd models. None of them are painted. Champions is an all painted event. This is really stupid. There's no way I'm going to make this happen. So I put out a call and said, hey, somebody bet me something stupid so that I have a good reason to try and paint all of this and make this happen. And Tomo responded with, I'll help you paint it. But the bet is that you have to play Midas, and if you win the whole tournament, then I will paint one minion warlock of your choice to professional standard, and if you don't win, you have to buy me a Crucible card caster. So I went into it knowing that it was pretty damn likely that I wasn't going to win, but we had this painting day beforehand, and we got everything painted. We sprayed and dipped and painted the shit out of
magic.
A lot of models. So I now have a lot of painted models, which... if you've ever tried to get someone to paint models for you, is worth significantly more than one caster anyway, so that was fun. So I turned up, I played Midas round one against Signar. It was he dropped the wrong list because he read my list and thought that it was a beast heavy list. When it's Midas, it has lots of beasts, but none of them matter. So he dropped Cray, and that didn't go that well for him. It didn't go terribly, but it didn't go very well. Cray still is very good now, and his jacks are surprisingly good at dealing with infantry because they're all cavalry, so they have impact attacks if they want it. They have access to trample and then reposition. So he got to kill a whole bunch of brigands, and then all of his jacks died eventually, and that was sort of the end of it. Game two, I ran into Signar again, and I went over to Tomo and went, I really don't want to drop Midas into Signar yet again, and I'd bought Barnabas as my second list with a painted list. As a result of it having to be painted, it had a Blind Walker and a Bone Swarm in it instead of having a Spiny Growth bot, which is a pity, but whatever. He went, yeah, no worries, you can play Barnabas, that's fine. So round two, I played Barnabas and played into Nemo and had a really good game, had a cracker of a game. It ended with the snake finally making its way. Sorry, that was the previous day. Snake made its way to Nemo. I played Nemo again, as it turns out. There's a bit of him around.
He's kind of a popular guy.
Yeah, it was actually Siege because Nemo's not on the ADR.
Right, so rewind.
I did also play Nemo.
Do you tell me you got played against the style pick of Signar?
Yeah, Siege 2.
Ah, sweet.
Siege 2 running like a whole bunch of stuff, including Nis with Murdoch and some bits and pieces. I played Barnabas into it. Barnabas did fine, and then a Swamp Horror got Siege, and Siege died.
Swamp Horror.
Yeah. That Swamp Horror played. That Swamp Siren played some good games on the weekend. It did very well. I didn't play very many good games, but the Swamp Siren was out there doing its thing.
See, that's the first step to recovery, because a poor craftsman blames his tools, and you've decided to
the tools were not the problem. Well, a tool was the problem, but that tool was not one of the things in the toolbox.
Amen.
Game three was then up against Peter Bates, and that was probably my highlight game of the weekend. That was a really good game. He played Osram because, for some inexplicable reason, Osram's on ADR. I played Barnabas because there was no way in hell I was playing Midas into Osram, because that was just going to be literally everything in my army dies before I get to make an attack. Or alternately, Midas walks forward and dies before I get to make an attack. So instead, I played Barnabas. I hung out in a swamp pit for the whole game, trying desperately not to be seen so that I couldn't die. I had one long shot at dropping Brian on Osram via a bunny, but he flubbed the rolls and didn't make it there. He only got there with one attack. So that was fun. He died a bit early, and then Rorsch proceeded to be an MVP and just hang out next to a rock for like two turns, taking the entire army shooting, basically. Like, he shot him for an entire turn, forced two transfers, forced him to tough. He toughed, so then he was not shootable anymore. So then he had to not kill him. And then Rorsch stood up, and then it took another turn before he died. But anyway, so that was an epic game. It was winding towards sort of turn five. He was running a little bit low on clock and went to shoot my solo that was on a flag. He moved a gun bunny up to shoot that solo, and Barnabas emerged from the swamp pit in a furious counter charge for the first time for the whole game, exposed himself to potential shooting in order to lock down a gun bunny, at which point Batesy looked at like half of his list that was left because he played half his turn already, went, well, I guess I can't win on scenario, I'll just shoot you a few times. And this is an engaged Barnabas with transfers. And he put Barnabas on, like, 2 health and just about killed him straight up. And I was like, well, okay, sure. And then that game eventually wound down. It did feature a sequence where Snapjaw attempted to kill a Hammer Dwarf and rolled double ones 3 times in a row, then gave up on trying to kill the Hammer Dwarf and submerged and just sat there next to the Hammer Dwarf. I was like, all right, we'll buy an attack, we'll miss. Fuck it, we'll submerge. Okay, your turn.
We're done here. I can't be bothered anymore. Correct.
So that was exciting. I had some interesting dice across the whole games. I had one game where the snake with Dahlia, so that it had boosted attack rolls, went in on a tep against Axis before Axis's feet, and then missed an attack with triple ones. Ugh. And as a result, failed to kill the tep by 3 points. And gave the tep an entire turn of shooting with a Dahlia standing in range of it and no way to protect her because the snake was full because it had just missed its last attack. So I was like, one spray, Dahlia dies. Okay.
Yeah. Bye, snake.
Yeah. So that was... The Champions was going well to that point. I'd played 3 games. No worries. Next matchup is Tomo, the person who I had the bet with.
Yep.
And he's playing Rhett. And I went, oh, this is going to be fairly bad. All right, sure. And in the spirit of the bet, I was like, well, I'd better play Midas. I can't really not play Midas. We talked it through a bit, and then he dropped Ran, and I went second. I didn't have a choice, but I went second. Actually, did I go second? Maybe I did go first.
You got to go second, no?
Not sure. Either way, it didn't matter. It wouldn't have mattered which way around it went. Basically, what happened was I advanced my army. He advanced his army, I advanced my army and dug in so that he wouldn't be able to shoot it, and parked my entire army between me and Ran, put Midas on 4 camp, 12.1 inches onto the table so that I wouldn't immediately lose on scenario. And being 12.1 inches onto the table meant that I died to Ran anyway. So that was the end of that game. Yeah, so Ran charged a brigand, TK'd himself, feated, TK'd me, and then a couple of battle mages were in range to drag me and knock me down. First one that hit me, knocked me down, dragged me. Next one dragged me, and then like a couple more from the other unit were now in range, so they got me as well, and then I got, yeah, I was dead with like spare attacks available.
You got Ran.
It was very demoralizing, because I knew it was coming. I saw it. I set up for it, and then I still died to it without any troubles at all. It was like, oh, well.
Why did you even have that many transfers?
Yeah.
You probably would have died closer to your army closer to your loved ones.
Yeah.
That's where you died further away.
You're not wrong. So, I mean, So that was very disappointing. I had had weird dice across the weekend, and I'd been feeling... I hadn't really been feeling the games. Like, I just hadn't been feeling good about them. The dice weren't terrible. Like, I can't claim that dice fucked me for the entire weekend or anything. I had several notably bad dice periods where I was like, this feels really bad, and I wasn't feeling the good ones in response.
Yep.
So it just felt like I was pushing uphill the whole time. And then I played Judgment the next morning, and the first game of Judgment, I lost to a person playing their first game. I have played several games before.
Oh dear,
the last two rolls by that player were three dice from Astariel, three J's, so knocks me down, and then a five dice roll with Astariel, of which all four, like four out of five, were J's, and then I died, and that was the last soul. Previous to that, there'd been a lot of dice. It hadn't been all bad for me or all good for him. I just didn't play that well, and I lost. So I stuck through. I played the next round. The next round, I got matched up into Lloyd because I was in the loser's bracket, and he's definitely not the reigning champion. Got my ass handed to me, and then looked at Jeff and went, you know what, Jeff? I think I'm going to have to drop, mate. I don't think I've got it in me to play another game. Like, this has been a grueling weekend. So then I bailed out, and we went and chatted to some people, had a look at the auction and stuff, did the usual sort of walk around CanCon.
You mean, do the things in CanCon you never actually get a chance to do?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're usually knee-deep in War Machine.
That's yeah, I got to go.
Judgment this
Sunday
game.
Off. I always plan to do something Sunday and then always bail.
Yeah. I got the chance to go and have a look at the painting comp and see Deno get a couple of bits and pieces.
It is a really nice convention. Side note to anyone overseas, if there's one convention, if for whatever reason you want to go to Australia doing High Summer, which... I mean, there's beaches and stuff would be a reason, which is, of course, why you'd want to go to Canberra instead for CanCon, which is several hundred kilometres.
You can go to the nation's capital during Australia
The nation's
Day.
Capital.
During Australia, to be fair.
Yes.
Ottawa is also a shitty city to visit most of the time, but Australia, Canada Day weekend, it's actually pretty, like, busy and patriotic and stuff.
That is a statement you cannot make about Canberra.
Yeah, I know. Instead, you get to play nerd games.
Yes.
And they don't notice that it's Australia Day, other than there were monster trucks.
I did notice that Whaley wore his Australian jersey that day. I think that's the only Australian thing. And then I was like, I'm retarded, because I also brought my Australian jersey and did not wear it on my Australian Day.
As appropriate. You're not Australian.
Yes.
That's true. I worked my Canada jersey.
Other than clearly appropriate.
Yes. So yeah, that was my CanCon. It was disappointment, but it was mostly disappointment on the basis of me doing things not well, and I was disappointed in my own attitude. I did find that Barnabas was a lot more fun to play than I expected him to be, and I'm looking forward to playing some more with him at some point in time, because he was actually pretty cool.
I'm not going to lie. Something about single wound infantry with range 10 guns, I've come to the conclusion I just don't like any of them. I don't even like trenches, frankly. There are a lot of things in trenches that are good. And honestly, the trenches aren't bad. It's just that something about range 10 guns is just not great.
So I think my problem is more that I don't really enjoy lists where I can't do stupid things.
Yeah,
and
that's
Midas's
fair.
List is basically, I have a ton of guns and I've got a debuff / buff.
Yeah.
And if you happen to walk into range of all of those things, you are 100% dead. So, if you don't, then I'm just going to walk forward and dig in and hope that you walk into it next turn, because that's my role.
So you're basically sort of playing like P. Vlad, except you don't even have the benefit P. Vlad
you
has.
You don't have Rocketeers.
We have Rocketeers and faster guys with longer
range
guns.
But you do get two Ephraim Scouts, who are really cool, and you do get two Razorback Crews, both of which are really cool. The problem is just that it's an unfair, fair list.
It's like blunt.
It's
Kador. It's a Kador list.
It's not
Not even
Kador. No.
Like, Kador have, like, actual
There are some
Kador
lists that are similar.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, Brigands are 12-14 with a good gun. and they're okay in melee.
We're 16-14, immune to blast damage.
Yeah, but then people spray them, and then they're back to being 12-14, and they die a lot. So that's part of the problem. Part of the issue is their speed 5, so you can't really go up the board fast, and particularly if you want to dig in, then you're really not going very far. They do kill stuff. It is fun when they kill stuff. Like, it's funless to play. Midas has no real defenses. He doesn't really offer them any defenses. It's a very straightforward, like, here's all of my dudes. Go ahead and see what you can do. And if you leave me a chance, I'm going to shoot you off the table with, like, 6 brigands. Yeah. Which is fun, but against a lot of things, you're like, oh, I wish I could do cool things.
I have something to comment about lists like that, where it's a case of you'd think that the numbers are enough to save you and what the actual player psychology is regarding that. But before I get into that, Brian, do you want to talk about your CanCon weekend?
Sure. Okay, so...
He had an awesome round one. It involved bears.
Round one.
Spoiler alert.
Round one, I played Mandrak 1 into Rask against Colin Hill because I was like, I've played Colgrim into Rask twice,
Work out well.
And it was never a good game. Let's see what happens when I play Mandrak 1. Much better game. Probably still 60-40 Colin's favor if I don't
sacrifice half my army to bears.
If I don't kill Snek.
Sure.
And I killed Snek top of 2.
Yep.
And that was a very good feeling.
Yeah, no, that was a good kill.
That was a clean kill. Unfortunately for Colin, he fed me first round. And then, more unfortunately for Colin, I proceeded to lose every round, therefore after wasting his feeding of Brian.
Best strength of schedule boost ever.
Yeah, so round two, I got to play against Batesy, so I was just paired up against New South Wales for the first two rounds.
Yeah, nice.
Reasons. Me and Colin start a game, Hato walks over, goes, huh, this shouldn't be possible, walks away.
Our computer system's meant to stop this kind of pairing from happening. Oh well, sorry guys.
See ya.
Thanks, Hato.
Maybe they put me as Canada. I don't know. Anyway.
So what happened in your Batesy game?
So it was Resnik 2 versus my Colgrim list. And the lists are actually very similar. We both have 3 spray bots. I have 2 3 winter trolls. He has 3
Repenters. I think they're repenters.
And then he has the Resnik Jack and 2 Templars.
Sure.
And I have a Brawler, Mulg, and a Mauler. And then I have an Axer, and he has another heavier light. So we have very similar lists, except he has Resnik too. He goes first.
Doesn't he also have Idrians in that list?
Yes. Yes, he does. And I do not really have any infantry except the stone.
Yeah.
And some solos.
And his Jack gets a boost whenever his Idrians die.
And one of them gets to make a move. And it's...
Yep.
Anyway, so we play this game, and I'm playing around with a cloud wall around a set of rocks. And we're playing a fairly live scenario, I guess it was. They all really were after the first round. All 3 games after that were very live scenarios. In the end of the game, Batesy pretty much keeps me from really giving much into the scenario at any point, which gives him the opportunity to score a little bit while I struggle to
dirtle around.
While I struggle to keep up. And then I put something into the zone, and then I don't even see it, and Batesy charges Resnik 14 inches and just kills it.
Yep.
And then
and scores that zone, thus pulling ahead enough to win the game. So, it was a bit unfortunate. If I had played a better game and was more on top of my scenario presence, I probably would have been a very close game.
Yep.
I think it could have gone either way. I was doing okay. But, I mean, Bates is a really good player, so I could easily...
Indeed.
I didn't feel too bad. I made a couple small mistakes, but the biggest one was not respecting the scenario, and I feel like that's a theme for this weekend. Next round...
I did not lose on scenario.
I lost every game scenario.
I didn't lose a single game on scenario.
I lost almost...
I don't think I even won any games on scenario either.
No, I never lost an assassination or anything else. It was every time it was a scenario.
Nice.
The round after that, I played into, I believe, it was either a Signar player or a Minions player. No,
I'm going to bet on Signar. I think your Minions was later, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Was it round 3? The Drakadar.
Round 3. No, because I won that game, so that was the next day. Fuck, my memory's terrible. I played Signar on the first day after... Because I lost my 2 next games.
Sounds like Signar to me.
Signar. Well, the Signar game was, like, pretty much the worst game, so I'm pretty sure it was the last game, because every game got progressively worse. No, it was Grimkin. It was Grimkin into the zero equals zero scenario set.
Oh, sure. The emoji, yeah.
Yeah, the emoji. So I was playing the emoji scenario, so he gets to go first. He gets to line up his Chob with four Skin and Moans. Three Skin and Moans, two Cage Ragers, and a Gorehound.
Huh, that's a familiar list.
Yeah,
it's so similar. I don't actually feel in the least bit... I was going to feel a bit bad for you.
I have Clouds, I have three Heavies, I can play this game, I know what she does.
Yeah.
Problem is, she got to scenario first.
Yep.
Which means then she throws, and I'm playing Madrek 1, so I move up and sit in the zone, and I've got my stuff kind of there, but I only in my zone, I'm not far enough, my brick can't spread out as much as I'd like. So I start moving stuff around, and I start contesting in a couple places, and I was able to score 1 point in one of the zones after he fails to score in it, and the Bears come on and save me, and the other Bears come on behind so he can come to the forward, but he's already scored on his zone, preventing me scoring from my zone because there's a fucking Skin and Moans in the middle of my zone, and five champions couldn't kill it.
Ugh.
And not only one charge, the rest is kind of like
slightly
nailed.
Broken.
They're
pretty good.
They're definitely pretty good. Yes.
I don't know if I don't want
to. At 13-21, they're pretty good.
Yes. He wasn't. I don't think he got that high. It was mostly.
If he was only 13-19, then that's like bad champion work.
It was.
Should have done better.
Yeah. Anyway. So I didn't manage to kill it, so I didn't get to score my zone after that. So I never got a chance to. But he was able to score that, score his, kill mine, score that zone, and then on his turn, he scored his zone again.
Yep.
And then I had a champion that was able to kill the Gorehound and prevent everything else to move around. But because I couldn't score on my zone and the 1 point I got there wasn't enough, he was able to do enough points where he was now able to just run the Child into my one model, and Child has Bulldoze.
Yep.
Oh. That was pushing me out of the zone and me losing.
GG.
And I could have easily prevented that by putting Bears in that zone, and then he would have had to put Child and the Skin and Moans that he had there into those models, and if I spread them out enough, it probably would have been very, very difficult.
Yep.
So it was, again, me just not playing the scenario game, and I didn't feel bad about the attrition or anything there as much as I should have.
Yep.
It was mostly I just did not respect the scenario game nearly enough. Third round was against someone playing Kray and...
Nemo 3?
No. It was Kray and...
Haley 3?
No. Fucking goddamn it. It was the ADR pairing. Because he was playing...
Siege 2. Stall 2?
So he had... But he played Kray into me, because Kray is the correct choice. And then he put in some Chargers instead of whatever else he had in the list with the ADR. With the Specialists. Yep. And so that was another game where I had a giant cloud, and then I used my other clouds to extend my cloud wall. Problem was, I spent an entire... So I had a turn where I'm like, I could feat this turn, but then I probably won't be able to kill that Jack in front of me. So I have Hunter's Market, I get all my butts onto my brawler so I can go in and kill this thing. It's all set up. I haven't feed it because if I feed it, it'll push it out and I won't be able to go after it. And then I declare my charge and he goes, that is a Centurion, you can't charge it. Because I'm retarded and bad. The other problem with this game was that I never fueled the stone at the first turn because I went second, so I ran and I had to put a... And then I had to put a cloud, so I didn't feel the stone. And every turn after that, the stone rolled one.
Yeah.
Rolled one. So I never had a very functioning stone. And then the turn that I also tried to put the brawler in and failed because I can't technically charge the model I'm trying to charge is also the turn that I forgot to turn the stone on. So I also was down on the treasure. Like, I tell you, this game was fucking terrible. I was more aware of scenario in this game, but it wasn't enough.
But that was because you were incompetent on every other aspect of the game.
And then the next turn I feat, which is not the right turn to feat, because the turn before was the right turn to feat, but I had wasted it because I didn't want to push the model I couldn't kill anyway out of the engine. So it was just...
Bad times.
Comedy of errors.
It was not a terrible game, except for that one turn where I literally fucked everything up for myself.
Nice.
So it was one round where Colin fed me, and then three rounds where I just, vomited all over myself.
I fed you too much. You were so full after round one, you were just like...
I prefer to think of it more as someone took a contract out on Colin, and Ryan...
fulfilled the contract.
And he fulfilled it to the utmost of his professional standards by immediately then tanking his own SOS to ruin Colin's chances of being the X and 1 getting in.
It was actually impossible to get the X one.
It was all undefeated.
All
it was
the
four undefeated.
Fair enough then.
But it was just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah.
I mean, what was if one of the 4-0? What was if it was a Tom Guan situation of a 4-0 drop?
Yeah. So I played Kogram and Madrick One for people that were listening, and I didn't explain. Madrick One is pretty much champions.
It's a pretty good Glacier list. Troll. I like it.
Glacier Troll, double bears, and some solos and stuff, and a match stuff. It's a fucking terrifying list. The bears give it an amazing amount of attrition and scenario presence that kind of just fix that list's two biggest problems.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they're basically like, what was it, Cossite Woodsmen and Murder Crows, except that they're not either of those things because they're effectively... I mean, think about the Cossite Woodsmen. No, they're basically Murder Crows. They're Murder Great Bears.
They're
greatest
Murder Crows
bears.
With 3 attacks each, which means they do more attacks.
At higher power by, like, 3. And
two
also...
bears do more... They have one more attack than Murder Crows, and there's only 3 models.
And the little dickhead also has higher power than Murder Crows with Gang and Prey.
More throw range. They have one more.
So
if, half an inch longer.
If the Murder Crows have the optimal outcome, where it's a probably, let's say it's a huge base that they have preyed that somebody has inexplicably left facing the wrong direction within 12 and a half inches of their table edge, the bears still do more damage. With just 2 bears. Without the dude. Comfortably. It's not even close.
The bears are
harder to kill.
Yeah.
They're like significantly harder to kill.
What are they?
They're arm 17, 19 in melee, and 21 if you can magically get the stone there for whatever reason.
You might... Look, you don't have
you
to
don't
ambush
have,
them.
You don't. You could just put them in front of you.
You can have
the bears. The bears themselves have 8 boxes, right?
Yes.
So one bear has more boxes than the entire Murder Crows unit and has a higher armor than the Murder Crows unit.
Yes, you seem to be understanding. Yeah. Murder Crows are garbage.
Murder Crows are...
Okay.
UP.
No. Murder Crows are balanced, and bears are fucking ridiculous.
Murder Crows are not balanced. Okay. They're just below. But bears are really good.
Really
good.
Really
good. They're very, very good.
If they didn't have ambush, you would still play them.
Yes, you would.
Quite comfortably. I mean, you could have them just behind your champion's
break. So when you play against, like, any tier list that goes, you don't lose ambush, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's well, like, I guess these guys are only worth 11 points now when I paid 10 for them.
My day 2, I played Grim 1 and my Kolgrama list. I never intended to drop Wounded Grim 1 because I literally played it. I literally wrote it up the morning before. I felt like if there was literally a list matchup where that would have to be the one I played, I could play into it because I understand Grim 1 enough that I could do that. And the list is pretty basic. I don't really remember what's in it now, but it was enough that I could just kind of make do.
Yep.
So I ended up playing Kolgrama all 4 rounds. I went 2-2 that day, so it's a slight improvement over the day before. My first round, I played against Zadesh. This will be the first of 2 games against Zadesh.
Double turtle.
No, that was the second game. The first game is Citrati, Cats, Tibbers, the Rushbot.
Gladiator.
Yeah, and then the Sentinel that prevents knockdown or stationary.
Sentry.
Yeah. So that was cool. So he moved up his stuff, put Zadesh on 0, put Tibbers in front of him, put up Battle Charge.
Sounds like a Zadesh that's about to get sprayed to death.
You got it! Basically, I walk a Winter Troll, I crit freeze a Gladiator.
Sure.
I then try to do the same thing with Tibbers, fail, so I just run to engage with my Brawler. The guy starts going, "What's happening? That's not what I thought was happening this turn. I'm pretty sure you're going to fully buff the Brawler and throw it into Tibbers." And I'm like, "Oh, that's adorable." Because I don't think that happens. I don't think the fully boosted Brawler kills the Brawler kills them.
Not on... Was it Zadesh's feet?
No.
No, okay.
Yeah. On Zadesh's feet, it makes it worse.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't.
So that his 2 countercharging models literally can't countercharge Mole trampling forward and putting up his arc node. And Zadesh being a 15-15 means I need 8s on signs importance and dice off 1 when I put up the cold stone.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. So I roll for the crit stationary. Pretty sure I get it.
Yeah.
On the boost the damage roll, I like almost one shot him and then rake another.
Shotgun him in the face.
Yeah.
So that was.
Feels bad, man. Feels bad.
Because I was like, I'm looking at this game and I'm just like, I don't like my odds with
I don't like playing games. This seems like this is going to be a lot of work where I could fuck up again. Why don't I just kill him now?
I can't lose on Sinai.
I do like playing games, Connor. Sometimes you just have to find the easy way to play the game.
Sometimes can't lose you just on have to play the 10-minute game so that you can play Fire Emblem Heroes afterwards.
I did. I had a really quick game. It was top of two.
Nice. Out of the blue.
I'm pretty sure your opponent immediately lodged a complaint to PP, being that, how the fuck did I die to trolls of all people on top of two?
No, he did immediately go tell other people, because I was walking around, like, I was playing my second game, and someone walked past me and went, I just got assassinated by Colgrimmar on the top of two, and I was like, and he was like, from 24 inches away, and I was like, okay, well, I'm pretty sure I know who that's going to be.
It's 16, technically it'd be like 16.
It could have been 26.
Yeah, it can go far.
Yeah. Welcome back to part two of Dark Gardens.
You don't even have to tell them. It would have been seamless.
That's okay. You can cut that out.
You can cut that shit out.
Oh, that's hard work now. Okay, so the next game was against Barnabas. And he had the most hated model I've ever seen come out of CID up to this point in his list. I fucking hate the Dracanau.
Why?
Do you hate fun?
Do you hate...
No.
Drag?
So I just looked at this model when it was on CID. And I'm like, okay, so it's got a range 10 spray. It can assault. It has three initials, and it can buy four to five more.
It has four initials.
It has four initials in Fury 4.
Okay.
Which is the same as three initials in Fury 5.
Yes.
Sure.
Except you don't have to pay for them, so anything that fucks with TRE makes it so that it...
Sure.
Shut up, Colin. I hate
this. Totally consequential.
And then a blind spray, because...
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's pretty fucking good.
As opposed to a range 12, power 14 crit freeze gun with three shots.
Yeah. Yeah, Colin.
Yeah. You're right. That's totally unreasonable.
It's range 12 and power 14.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. I thought you said range
14. You're right. You just exactly reiterated the fact that it is a range 12, power 14 gun with rate of fire 3. Well, with purchase reload twice.
I stand by my convictions.
That the Dracodile is not as good as a Glacier King?
No.
Ask yourself this. Would you take a Dracodile in the place of the Glacier King if it had the same armor as a Glacier King? Because it has one more, but it can't have a stone. I'm pretty sure the answer is no.
No. Your stomach just grumbled.
It depends on the list, because it wouldn't, in the list that I play the Glacier King, which is one list currently.
Yes.
And it's because it's like it has a bunch of things that typically synergize specifically with that stone.
Yes.
If you don't have that stone, I don't know if you take the Glacier King.
Sure. But you probably don't take a Dracodile either.
No. But you might with other casters.
I kind of want to see a Dracodile.
Anyway, hate it. It might not be reasonable.
I unreasonably hate this thing that's almost as good as my thing. How dare they?
I hate it.
As you said.
Yep. So I'm looking at this. It's Barnabas, Dracodile, two max units of Gators... a Rassler, and I can't remember what else is in the list, solos.
I don't hate that list. Mm. It's a good list.
So I'm looking at this, and I'm just like, okay, how hard is this game going to be for me? I hate this Dracodile. It's going to be a pain in the ass. It's going to fuck my shit up all day.
You went wrong.
So you were on instant.
I was not.
Spoiler alert, not incorrect.
So basically, I slightly out-thread it, but I can only really hit it with one model, and one model probably doesn't kill it.
Almost certainly no.
So it became like a weird dance between our two models for most of the game, and eventually, spoiler alert, he gets the upper hand where he's able to kill two heavies. The Dracodile kills one, and then he's able to warpath forward his enraged
Rassler,
and the Rassler kills the Mauler, and it leaves him with Maulg. And then the rest of that game is me going, okay, I'm up on scenario and up on time, so I'm just going to never make so that the Dracodile never leaves the middle zone while I just go sit in this zone over here.
I'm just going to feed it models slowly.
And kill anything that comes in my zone, because Colgrimmar can pretty much do that pretty easily with sprays. And pretty much I win that game because I slowly climb scenario while I prevent him from detonating anything. And his Dracodile never does anything of value because it can't get past the 4 to 5 medium bases I feed it.
So you zap Brannigan'd it up.
Yep.
Good job.
But there was a turn where I'm like, Barnabas is sitting there on zero focus theory. Do I just do a round one? How bad is my chance if I just pull another round one assassination?
Pretty bad.
That's what I thought, so I didn't go for it. His armor just seemed
he's
a little hard.
Depth 17, and I think he's got 18 boxes, but I could
be
wrong.
Depth 17.
Yeah, he's armor 17.
Arm 17.
Yeah.
For your spray.
But so
and he's also tough.
He's
so.
Nice. And that's what I ended up. It was like, I probably kill him, but he taps and I fuck the whole game. Yeah,
so even if you've got a 50% or 60% chance of killing him, there's probably really...
If it's just 40%. Cold grammar, it's not. It's kind of dicey.
That, it's always just cold grammar. There's never anything else.
No one else can get in range
for
that.
Not in that particular list, because there's no other guns.
Anyway, so I didn't go for it, and then that's how the game went, and I win based off of me just going, I understand how scenario works. And
for the first time this weekend.
I understand
it took me five or six games, but I got there in the end.
Technically, I win on clock, not on scenario, because he timed out when he was trying to clear out his zone, but I was pretty comfortably ahead. I don't know if it was enough to win the next turn, but it was enough that I was like very comfortable in my position. As long as I could have enough models to keep feed of Dracodile, and I had two beasts left, so they would have been very hard for him to clear out with anything but a Dracodile.
Yeah.
I was correct. 18 boxes.
Okay. My next round was against... Zadesh was the last round. It was against Legion!
Yay.
I'm just like, okay, so this is the game that I probably should have dropped the Grimlist in, because it was Fiona Lash.
Yep.
With double raptors, a Hellmouth, two Angelii, a Slipstream, and some other stuff.
Cole Grammer's pretty happy about Angelius.
You think that.
But no?
So he goes first, and he's halfway up the table.
Yes. Now you
and I go, feet?
Sure. Because
he's hiding behind a bunch of terrain.
Yep.
So it prevents him from crossing it because he loses Pathfinder, he loses flight, he loses out of sight, and my clouds do stuff. It's a terrible feat.
Yeah.
It's really a bad place. Almost everything in his list can kill something in my list without doing too much trouble, and the fact that he, with a good portion of the list, out-threats most of my stuff.
Yep.
That definitely is a grim... You need something.
It was a bad matchup.
Yep.
I feel like I had some tools and I could win the game, but I just didn't know how to deal with it. I had never experienced Fiona in a capacity with trolls. I've only ever played it with Sorsha One, and Sorsha One just gives no fucks about it.
Yep.
Because she's just like, you know what? Plus three def really hates stationary.
Stationary. Let's be honest, right? You don't generally, as Sorsha, end up playing the Fiona match.
No, you get the little three and die.
Yeah. Or you don't die. Actually, I find you more realistic.
You die.
No, you don't.
What?
I
used to play
that. Before Winnegard Command. Yeah, that changed a lot of it.
You hide behind line of sight blocking terrain and then don't die.
Yeah, or...
It's a really fun thing.
Yes.
What actually happens now, incidentally, is you tend to get the Thagrush 1 and they have double thrones or some other nonsense.
Well, I can play that.
Soon you will get
You can, yes.
Thagrush 1 and double war spears with a Blightbringer.
I feel like Sorsha loves that a lot more than...
She's just like, so those war spears are going to do nothing on game. Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Cool story, right?
I want to play Sorsha now.
Okay.
That's good.
For once, I'd like to have our cast not devolve into complete Kador talk. Although, that's our foregone conclusion.
Back to trolls, then. So basically, I move stuff forward. I put my beasts in a place where they're probably in threat ranges and I'm probably going to lose something. But at least whatever survives is now in a place to actually do work.
Yep.
So he goes in. He doesn't kill he doesn't kill Mog, but he kills the Brawler.
Yep.
Mog is now behind a rock. And on the other side of the rock is the Hellmouth. A little bit behind that is where Fiona's sitting with one Fury, maybe two.
Seems like
one. It's one.
Is it time to kill Fiona?
Pretty much. But there's a Hellmouth in the way, and there's two Raptors in the way for everything to get into the right places. Because I need Maul to get up there. Maul gets into rage because there's a cloud in front of her from the one Swamp Gobbler that's remaining. So there's the Hellmouth, which isn't actually relevant. It's the tentacles that are all in the way of the rock. The one gobber and some raptors in front of my other stuff. So my Maul is like, okay, I have to kill those raptors so I can get my other stuff to go clear the tentacles so the Maul can walk forward and kill the remaining tentacles, put up his animus, and then while he's in the cloud, Colgrammer can just spray him for days.
Yep.
This is where that's the easy part. Yep. The hard part is literally rolling the attacks on Fiona and not fucking up.
Yep.
That was the easy part.
Yep.
The hard part was, okay, so I need to kill these raptors. That works. Mauler picks one up, throws in the other one, kills them both.
Yep.
No issues.
Value.
So then I'm like, okay, there's this tentacle. It needs to die. Turns out Fiona's feet makes him def 13.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, charge Winter Troll forward. Winter Troll boosts to hit. Needs an 8 on 3 dice. Fails. Dodges into Monk. Other Winter Troll walks behind Mull. Okay, hope I don't crit stationary my own model. Don't crit stationary my own model. Hit the tentacle, need a boosted 6 to kill it, fail.
Well, you only had 2 dice, right?
Yes. 2 dice needing a 6.
Yes.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, so that's like 30% chance of
failure. Okay, then I'm like, okay, this can still work. Because if I
we'll dig our way out.
Because all my stone is cold immune. So all I need to do is run the stone in front of the cloud, and I can use it as a targeting beacon for my sprays into what's her face. Problem is, currently as things are, it'd be very hard to land the stone anywhere of value. So Monk has to do some work and kill some stuff first. But the other problem is that the stone is currently engaged by a raptor. That isn't under feet, so that's fine. And it's engaged with my axer. So my axer's like, okay, cool. This is my job. Boost to hit.
I've got one job. One job, Steve.
Boost to hit. Hits. So it needs an 8 because it's def 14. Needs a 6. I'm like, fuck this. I'm just boosting it. I can't have anything go roll. Roll 5.
Yeah, GG.
Doesn't kill. So my stone is still engaged. I'm just like, fuck my life. This is supposed to be the easy part. So Colgrave is like, fine. We're just going to see how... I've got nothing else left. I've literally used my entire army to do this bullshit. Colgrave walks forward. I have 2 targets that I can spray through the cloud and still target Fianna. One is the tentacle. One is the gobber. Spray the first spray. Hits and kills the tentacle. Does not hit the gobber. Hits Fianna. Crit stationaries, damages it, she transfers damage. I have 2 more sprays. I'm in a good place.
No, you're not, because the gobber dies and then you're fucked, right?
As long as if you
next turn, gobber dies, I do like half a Fiona's health of damage and game ends because I killed the dog. Like, but that's all I had.
Yes.
Like that was literally all I got left with because I couldn't roll a fucking 6 on 3 dice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rough.
Well, good job on getting yourself still a chance at it.
Yep. But that's
I was channeling my inner Colin out there, but it was just like, fuck my life.
Every time you try to dig yourself out, you just get a little bit deeper. You just like I can dig out by getting rid of this guy. Chunk. Ah, fuck. Okay, now we're 1.5 feet further down.
All the dirt comes back in. Okay.
But see, just briefly redacting, look, that is honestly just something that happens. I mean, you got a bit dice fucked, but you did the appropriate thing, which is... And accepting that no matter how deep you've dug, you can always dig yourself even deeper. Yeah. Just if your shovel breaks, just use the hilt of the shovel.
You're only one shovel full away from breaking into that cavern of sweetness that's below you somewhere that will get you out of this hole.
Yes. And look, if your shovel breaks, you use the hilt of the shovel. Yes. If the hilt of the shovel breaks, use the little handle bit. If or the handle face. Breaks, you use your hands. When your hands break, you use your face. And once you're done eating so much dirt, at that point, I guess you might have to call it done. Or you can just roll around and just try anyway.
So that was round 3. Round 2 was...
Round 4.
Round 4 was Zadesh,
Double Turtles,
yeah, Triple boy. Arcadon, Rhinodon, Double Kraya, and the Screamy Little Bitch thing, and some Beast Handlers. And I was just like, fuck.
Alright, I think that's about the end of that game.
That was the wait scenario.
Did you take Cold Grimmer?
I did. I played her every round.
Did you just kill Zadesh again? That would have been awesome.
No, because he had spiny growth, and...
He thought about it.
Yeah, no, he... I don't know. Maybe? But he's just like...
You did kill someone.
He always had the Kray nearby, and he always had spiny growth up. Mm. And he's just like... And he's like, can you kill me? And I'm like...
I don't know.
There's a term I think about it, and he's just like, can you kill me? I'm like, maybe, but I don't think it's very good, so I probably won't this turn. And then every turn after that, he's like, I spider growth myself.
I am 17, 19.
And he always camped.
Yeah.
Except for the one turn where I thought about it, but he was under the Kraya, and then I'm like, it's probably a bad choice to do this, so I didn't. Basically, there was the middle scenario, which is the rectangle connected to the 2 giant circles. The middle rectangle had what was essentially a house, but it was like a pile of crates, but it essentially did the same job as the house. He got to go first, so he pretty much hit a heavy or some form of beast behind it pretty much every turn, which means it was impossible to score that scenario. The side scenario, he had Arcadons in there, and the other scenario had an Arcadon. So pretty much I couldn't score yep. because I couldn't get there fast enough, and then he already had stuff in there from, like, the get-go. And so he was up on scenario pretty much the whole game. It was a dance between me and the Derp Turtles. Eventually, the only way he could get the Derp Turtle to Monk was by trampling, which means he knocks Monk down, does, like, 5 or 6 damage in total, and then makes another swing at one of my other lights to get an engaging a Arcanine, which he fails to do, so it doesn't do much that turn. Turns out, also, and he feats the same turn, which turns out that Defensive Strike doesn't work if Maul just stands up when yep. he's already near melee range and just kills a Derp Turtle.
Mm. Yeah, sure.
The rest of that turn also is he put 2 Arcanines and a Rhinodon into my Brawler and some Winter Trolls, but the Winter Trolls had spent the entire past turn being in really annoying places and putting up Chiller, which means all those models were stationary by the yep. end of that activation, which means my Mauler had a really easy time killing them.
Had the best day that a Mauler has had in a long time.
The Rhinodon was still alive, but I just put a bunch of damage rolls into it just so that it would be more...
Because it was useful. There in stationary.
The turtle was just sitting on the other side of the forest, so the scenario was 2 forests on my side of the zones, right close to the pile of bricks, which means I could put 2
clouds
on one side and 1 cloud on the other side, and making a giant wall out of the whole thing.
Nice.
Yep.
He did not have Isle of Sight in that list, so that was pretty good for me.
Yep.
But the problem was that the Derp Turtles, anything I put in the other zone, because I could put nothing into the Derp Turtle,
would immediately get run over.
Would immediately get killed.
Yep.
And because the Brawler died to the Rhinodon, the Mauler died to the Rhinodon the turn after with some other damage rolls from some other things, and then Maul killing the Rhinodon means that mostly I didn't have anything to kill the Derp Turtle, because Maul had to go around and try and get the thing that was in the zone on the gladiator sitting on the other side of the house. Sure. So it was pretty much me chasing around, and he was just able to slowly score every turn.
Yep.
And anytime I put something in, it would just die. Like, there's nothing the Derp Turtle after Maul, other than Maul, that he couldn't kill.
Yep.
Because his heavies had done the right job and killed all the other heavies, and then Maul had to carry the rest of my list and wasn't able to go to all the places it needed to, like killing that other Derp Turtle.
Hmm.
So it was a bit of a problem, and I could not score the zone on the other side, because while there's no models in it, there was always one solo or beast just
towing the far corner.
Away, which means Maul would have to become an Arcanine for me to reach it, and that was also wasting Maul, so I just couldn't keep up the scenario game. So that was a bit sad, but I felt like I played a good game, and it was just going second was really rough.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that was it.
I think I also was too scared of the Derp Turtles. While they are very scary, I don't think they have... I think after watching them fail to, like, miserably at their most powerful to kill Mulg, I realized that I could probably, as long as I didn't give them too many targets, I could probably feed a heavy into one, and it probably doesn't kill it.
Yeah.
Mm. And it means my heavy probably kills it the following turn, give or take, with some help.
Yeah. If
the problem was he had 2 or 3 Arcanines and a Rhinodon to help whatever the Derp Turtle goes into, so I had to take care of those first, and that was one of the big issues of the whole list.
Yep. Well, and for my part, I spent CanCon in Austria skiing. I can say from experience...
Poor choice.
You know what?
Just saying, you should have come down, got killed by some bears, lost round one, and then really had a great time.
Yeah, that would have been great. I could have basically...
Meanwhile, Brian's wrecking the table.
And we're
welcome back.
We're back from Brian unwrecking the table. yeah, if you've never been skiing before, I would recommend not going to the Alps. I'd recommend... Now Brian has decided to play Fire Emblem Heroes randomly. All right.
The wheels have fallen off.
So, there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Like, so obviously, I didn't spend CanCon playing War Machine. In fact, I just basically went on a Europe trip and got really fucking, like, super classy and did a whole bunch of stuff that I'm not at liability to discuss on a public forum. Right, but what I can talk about is something I noticed with a couple of these games, and something I've been looking at for a while, especially with the CID for Manowar coming up, and a couple of the CIDs that have... the CID that just came past, which is the Ogryn theme, Game Ogre, which, I'm not gonna lie, if anyone here has been following the debacle that is talking about the Chosen of Everblight, which are the Dragon Ogre Cav, and the fact that, like, it's a mismatch between whether they're horribly understated,
statistically impossible to kill, Chris,
or that, or like a couple of other things.
Which
like
side do you follow on that?
I I don't believe there are sides. I think the argument is stupid.
I mean, agreed, but...
So, I am of the opinion that whether or not they are statistically impossible to kill with some portions of the game is not as relevant as whether or not it is credible that an opposing list will have the ability to kill them. And that's a different question.
Yeah.
So, yes, there are lots of lists in the game that will not be able to kill them if they are armor 21. But there are also still a bunch of lists in the game that can kill them at armor 21. And the question then becomes, when they're playing against those lists, do they actually do anything useful or do they just die like chumps?
Yeah.
And so, I'm not sure that anyone is really answering that question. I think they're busy arguing a completely separate question.
So the actual question they're arguing is something that Legion doesn't have access to, which everyone is, like, losing their shit over, which is a model that is, wait for it, charger-proof. So if you want the yardstick of a model that can survive shooting in this current day and age, basically take a model and ask yourself, does it die to a charger?
Or multiple chargers?
No, just say one charger, because in multiple chargers at that point, like, starts becoming silly. It's more like, because you look at a lot of Legion models.
What rat is the charger?
Rat is 6 and boosted.
No, in this scenario, because the rat is never 6.
Rat starts at 6.
Yeah, agreed. Rat sometimes starts at 6.
You know what? For the sake of this, just use...
Are we just saying defense can't protect you from the charger? Is it just... Well, can it survive being hit twice by a charger?
We're talking about the Chosen in this case, and the Chosen are...
Oh, they definitely can be shot by a charger, yes.
Exactly. Like, well, that's the thing. It's like,
well,
if
they started at 11, and then they went up to 12, because apparently chargers were having too easy a time hitting them.
Well, that's the catch, right? It's like, if you have a defense high enough that you can save you from a charger, that's important to note. But it's a good yardstick, because stat line of a charger is used by a lot of models. Rockets, for instance. Yep. A lot of just random boostable guns on heavies.
Turns out, hand cannon. Boosted hand cannon.
Boosted hand cannon from the Warcaster. If your model can survive one of those, it is, in my opinion, in this day and age, a model that is quite survivable.
Are we surviving one, or are we surviving two shots that a charger puts out?
You know what? It's first one, then the other. Because if you survive the one... Like, a lot of Legion models, to be perfectly honest, could not even survive one shot.
A lot of models in the game cannot survive one shot. That's true.
Correct. Right? I mean, there's nothing more demoralizing than having your unit of, like, single-wound infantry face off against 4 charges, and then 8 shots later, 70 of your guys are dead, and the only reason the last guy didn't die is because he was out of range. They killed literally every other model that was in range. not tough or anything like that, but that was actually a thing I was going to get into, because you mentioned with your Midas list, it was quite blunt.
Yes.
Very much like, it will do incredible amounts of damage, but on the flip side, right, like... It's sort of just presenting numbers at your opponent. And at the same time, I've seen the opposite where you have something like Manowar, where you're like, I'm 8 wounds, 10, 21, you know, go nuts, right?
Yep.
And in a lot of cases, people tend to like, especially on the internet, tend to get carried away with the, oh, I can't kill that Manowar, right? It can survive 2 charger shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Which it statistically can-ish, only just, and not accounted for spikes, but you're like, fuck. It can survive 2 charger shots. Yep. It's unkillable.
Yep.
Officially unkillable. And on the Kados side, it's like, yeah, my Man of War are unstoppable. And then you actually put on the table and your opponent looks at it and is like, okay, first of all, do I actually need to waste my charges shooting that? And second of all, do I have any supporting models or a damage map on my caster or literally anything else?
Sure.
Or alternately, do I just, you know, brine it up and kill your caster because it turns out, like, Zakova or Rusk is probably a lot easier to kill than the fucking shock troopers in front of them.
Yep.
Because I'll stand on a hill and just kill them.
So I think for Chosen, the big part for me that makes them not the real point of the argument is that for them to do work, they're going to charge.
Yes.
So for them to really be doing actual work in the game, they're not going to be standing next to the Blightbringer. So that argument doesn't apply as well to Warspears, because Warspears can afford to stand near the Blightbringer most of the time.
Yep.
But the Chosen, really, if you are engaging them, then they're just hitting you with a power 13 each turn, and you don't really care.
I think they're 14s, but it doesn't
also
really
just charge into the Blightbringer's AoE, isn't that the whole point?
Okay, so, then, you fire a Blightbringer AoE, that's a single AoE in a specific spot, and then you put your entire unit of Chosen in it?
Yeah, it's like...
And then someone kills them all, because now you're not in Thagrosh's Aura anymore, or Kallus's Aura, or any other Aura, you're down to 19.
Well, it's all about delivering them too, right?
Oh, sure, but delivering cavalry that do one power 15 charge is not, like, going to win you a game.
Yeah, that's...
The Warspears, different story, like different
argument. I hate the Warspeed more than I hate Chosen. I hate the Warspeed.
Yeah, and that's a different argument. There's different reasons for why they are what they do.
The Chosen to a
yeah, like the Chosen are the poster child of that sort of thing. But let's be honest, right? What actually makes the Chosen more unkillable than Manowar Shock Troopers and like
surprise
those kind of
rapid healing?
Rapid healing, and it turns out in a lot of cases, what you need in order to like what you need to do. When you're evaluating a lot of models, especially if you're evaluating on the internet, which I know is something that you probably shouldn't do, is you shouldn't like dojo too much and whatever. But for the sake of it, you should, when you're considering models, just not get carried away by broad stats because of the effect of rules have on models, which actually lends survivability. So we were talking earlier about Madrak 1. And Madrak 1 presents some pretty fucking good stats, right? I mean, defense 16 champions in melee, on defense 16 from range when you have a Glacier King. That's pretty fucking horrifying, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Agree. I like where you're going with this. I agree.
Right, but it's actually not relevant. What actually makes champions really fucking annoying to kill? Like, what?
It's Sanguine Bond.
It's Sanguine Bond and the interaction of Tough and the fucking, like...
No knockdown
thing. And it's the fact that Madrak has his feet hanging over
it. There's a lot of models that hit Death 16.
Yes. Yeah. Like, and if they were just 16, 18, or 16, 19, and they had five boxes each, and that was it, they would not be anywhere near as exciting as
Bond and...
No knockdown.
So one of the things
and you... And the fact your Sanguine Bond applies to any model attached to the unit.
Yeah, including the blood bags, i.e. the sorcerers and the like, and the sorcerers incidentally add their own spiel, because they mean that it's harder to
and
stick debuffs on them ahead
of
time.
In the theme, or... Well, they can
they've got access to the extra speed, they've got RFP, they've got all sorts of extra bits.
You can get extra bits from depending on the themes you take them in, like, and all the themes they work well in.
And
agreed.
Let's be honest, right, no unit is ever in a vacuum. As a result of that, you can consider that you might not get all of your models that you have ideally to kill your champions because there's bears in the way, or...
Yep.
Or Fen Blades. Or
even fucking...
they get shot by the Glacier King, or... Yeah. Because they're crit stationary, so they just don't get delivered, or who knows.
Yeah, pretty much. So, it's one thing I feel that should be addressed is... something I'd actually ask you is, like, how do you take... First of all, how do you make a list where you consider pretty much how do you answer extreme stats? Because it's actually something I've noticed a lot of people do.
You take extreme stats.
Yeah, not always.
There's a bit of an arms race.
Can be. So, a good example is Dahlia and Snek. Like, they naturally answer high defense on the opposing side. They give you an option to... assuming it's living. Well, if it's not living, they still answer it. The Snake will still hit, and you'll get around where the Snake has three dice to hit on everything, and it'll be high power, and it'll do its thing. And then, in addition, it has paralysis. So, it then lends you an option for the rest of your army to be able to hit the thing that the Snake has hit.
Yeah.
So it's a nice little piece of tech that you can have in a list, and it's available to a whole bunch of different factions in different places. And there are a variety of others. Knockdown is another one that's commonly used to try and deal with defense.
Stationary
is another one.
Yep.
And then being able to just jam up models that are unkillable.
Like because
if they're
that's
just impossible to kill, then you just put them out of the game.
Spells like people like to raise armors the other way to do things, and then you have spells like Affliction and Cursed Fate, which are like, well, if you're single wound infantry, it won't matter because we cut right through it. Models like Widowmakers or that do auto damage, same thing.
So one thing to remember with War Machine under almost all circumstances is that the game is designed from the ground up to favor aggression over defense. Like, it's one of the things they specifically tried to get away from in Mark III, is basically lists which were abnormally hard to kill. Through a combination of rules, high stats, and stuff like that. And to the extent they sort of swung it a bit too far the other way in areas and in
which
other...
Which is why medium infantry dropped out for a long period there.
Correct.
Everyone going down to five boxes, less buffs, less availability for things that kept you alive.
Exactly. It's actually also, ironically, one of the other things is, a lot of the medium-based infantry are, first of all, in the CID. Like, you look at the next one that's coming up is Manowar.
And then Tharn.
Is Tharn.
Ogryn, Manowar, Tharn. So it does seem to be like a...
Yes.
And then...
isn't a surprise, right? Like, we all very vocally went, medium-based infantry is pretty shit right now.
Yes.
Now they're buffing all of it, so...
Yeah, and it's funny, because one of the reasons why medium-based infantry were kind of garbage in the first place was because one of their design goals originally opening up was that we'd like to make them five boxes, but give them funky rules to sort of do that. And what happened was we go to MK3, we open up the pack, and we find that they've just made the medium-based infantry shit, and not given any rules.
There's like one, and it was the one they kept 8 boxes.
Yeah, and what was stuff like what actually got
it? Skinwalkers kept 8 boxes, but they didn't.
No, I said there was one unit, and it kept 8 boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was shock troopers. Were like the only good medium base that came
out. If you think about it, why it was shock troopers specifically is actually due to some quirks of rules, because you look at the Man of War theme, what does it give you? It gives you +1 to repair rolls, and that's literally it.
But they were good before the theme.
Well, they were also good because they had the UA attached, yes, because the way the Man of Wars are actually designed... The Man of War are actually designed around not wanting to make Fists of Halak again, i.e. you take 5 units of shock troopers... Oh no, 5 units of Demo Core, and that's your list, right? And you're like, no, it's because all the Man of War support is tied in solos and UAs, so that you take instead, like, max units, but you have the UAs attached to them.
So they become expensive, so you can't take too many.
Yeah.
And you're tied to how many UAs you're allowed to take, regardless of your FA of the model.
Agreed, but in a weird themeless world, right, that just translates to, you have all of these crap units, and then Man of War shock troopers who have literally all the support they ever wanted... All they're missing is that +1 to repair. Ooh, such a problem. And a free Kovnik, I guess. Like, if you know how to use a Kovnik right, you will get 5 points of Mark Abbott. Believe you me.
You,
right?
You played a bit of the Man of War theme before there was a Man of War theme, just as a test. But it was always better with them combined with other arms.
Yes.
Like, the most ideal lists were, like, them, some Chaos Eliminators for, like, spot removal and set... surgery.
And then some rockets, because rockets are good.
And then,
well,
and then
it wasn't...
It was rifles and rockets, because rifles were also very good at being surgical against the other table, but they also could clear infantry because they were at 7, and they were also far range, so they could reach far.
They could
and
usually,
then you had rockets to just add a little bit of range damage.
Yeah.
And
just
so,
to kick to the nuts every now and again.
With the right caster that could support, like, the different types of packages you had in the list, you were pretty okay.
Yep.
Like... Shock troopers just made a really good anchor unit.
Yep.
You had the nice shooter unit.
And they were
you had some other stuff, and it was just really to taste, but they made for a good mixed arms unit, unlike any other medium infantry that was available.
Exactly.
So I think the infantry that I would associate them with in that way is piggybacks.
Yeah.
I think they're very much alike.
No,
have one unit of them as an anchor, and that's fine, and it does its thing, and the rest of the list can do its own thing around it.
Yeah, it's actually something I've been noticing, having played a bunch of double shock troopers, is that you sort of lose out. You actually
don't really
them.
Want one unit.
So, you actually more want something like, say, a max unit of shock troopers, and then, like, 2 max units of demo core, or bombardiers, or, frankly, anything that more does a more versatile role, because you kind of only, a lot of times, need one anchor point, because
there's a reason boats only carry one anchor. That's actually not true, but
no,
still.
It's quite not true.
As a metaphor, we're going with it.
Okay. Well, there's a reason why Colin's theoretical boats do.
There's a reason why my boat's only got one anchor.
There's a reason why it sinks all the time.
So, funny story.
And that anchor is a Zapdos.
I think we should...
Completely unrelated. So, I would have a friend who worked, when he was younger...
On a boat?
At a marina where they rented boats.
Right.
And so they had this one guy who came back, and they're like, they're calling on the emergency frequency. They're going, guys, we're stuck in the middle of the water. We have no gas.
Oh, dear.
We're drifting afloat. And they're like, why are you drifting? You have an anchor. And they're like, well, you have 3 anchors. Like, what's wrong? He's like, well, we used them all. And they're like, what do you mean you used them all? And what they were doing is they drop it at night, sleep, and then they would cut it loose instead of pulling it back in. And then... The next day, they would drop the anchor, sleep overnight, cut it loose, and do it again. And so then eventually, they got themselves put in this situation where they ran out of gas, had no way to anchor themselves. So they're just drifting over this lake. Like, and we're talking about, like, the Great Lakes of Canada, which are, like, almost seas.
Yep.
And they're just loose. And they're like, guys, please come save us. And they're like, oh, my fucking God.
So
that's my anchor story.
Nice.
Because that's why you keep multiple anchors.
Nice.
So you can cut them loose.
Right. Okay.
You have multiple nights. That was why it was so hard to get to the New World, you see, way back when.
Yeah. They ran out of anchors halfway.
Yeah. So
we can only carry so many anchors, guys. We're going to need to start getting rid of people so that we can have more anchors. We have to breed on the way. We're carrying everything in anchor weight.
I mean, let me take it. To get to Australia, it took about 9 months. So that's
you need a lot of anchors.
9 by 30.
At that point, I think you just go with night shift, right? And you stop anchoring every night.
It's
like we can only afford 3 nights of sleep because we only have 3 anchors with us.
So you'd have 270 anchors at least. So basically, your entire weight of cannonballs, just get rid of that. You clearly just need more anchors.
Maybe you double service, right? Yeah. So, like, you fire cannonballs with a rope behind them, and then that's the end of your night. You just say, oh, that's the anchor for tonight, boys. We're staying here.
And everyone, that is how Chain Shot was invented.
We've accidentally anchored ourselves to that ship. Oh, well.
Well, we've anchored their sails down. I guess that works as well.
It's called active anchoring.
But yeah,
you started talking about anchors, and I'm like, oh my god.
All right, detour aside, let's be honest, that was pretty fucking good. One of the things that comes up here, right, is that, first of all, when making lists, and it's something I know that themes makes hard, but it's still something I feel you should endeavor to do, is to split up the damage, like, how basically your models take damage. And by that I mean, you should have some models which have high defense and high, like, low armor, and some models which have low defense and high armor, and have a decent mix of the two. And obviously, this is kind of difficult now that basically a lot of themes are typecast, but can still be done in a lot of ways. Like, even a lot of themes, you'll notice where the simple way is basically infantry versus warjacks. So, for instance, if you're playing, I don't know, say, Retribution, you could have a bunch of... They, let's say, infantry, we'll call them mage hunters, for instance, because they're quite common. You have, basically, in order to break up your mage hunter theme, you have warjacks. And I feel there's something that people need to do more, is pretty much, like, just take a lot more warjacks in their infantry themes, because one of the problems you get is when you are, like, it's something people say, like, oh, it's fine, just take all your stealth infantry, it'll be askew, it'll be fine. And you'd be surprised how many times that gets countered by incidental sources of damage. So, for instance, if you have a lot of low defense, high armor models, Man of War Shock Troopers are a good example.
Weapon Master spam.
Even just a unit of Weapon Masters
makes
does.
It sad.
The problem is, right, is that units that trade up tend to stay around on the table, and there's a reason why it's called trading up. So, you could have, like, a couple of Banes, and they will charge some Shock Troopers and kill the crap out of them, right? And you'd think, okay, look, you know, I have my skew, he's got his balanced list, and even, like, clearly all I've got to do is just basically kill the models that can damage my particular armor gradient. And you'll find that that doesn't actually work in practice a lot of the time. So, for instance, right, this is one of the things that was, like, with themeless, you'd want to get away from just mono having the same stat line, because it seems like a good idea on paper, but in practice it kind of isn't. And there is, however, one big exception to this, and that exception is the kind of thing that we notice with Madrak 1 and with those kind of troll lists, is where you have uniformly high stats, like abnormally high stats.
See,
backed
you,
up by rules.
So we play that here in Sydney like that, but
yeah.
I've seen tons of Madrak players that played in, like, say, Band of Heroes.
Yeah.
Where they take a unit of Femblades and one unit of Champs. Some people think two units is too much.
Yeah.
Or it becomes too much of a skew where if the right thing's in the opponent's list, you're just going to lose.
Mm.
It depends. That's, and I've seen people do really well because Femblades with that list then become, like, they're a far-reaching unit and they
yeah.
can go kill lots of infantry.
Which I think bears do that job in your version
of the
list.
Bears do that job, but I think Femblades can kill, like, Weapon Masters more efficiently than bears,
sure.
especially if the Weapon Masters are right in front, where bears would have a hard time coming around to get them,
sure.
especially if the opponent's aware of it.
It might also...
It's all about play and counterplay, but
sure.
I feel like there are, like, if you want to play Band of Heroes for the RFP and stuff, there are lists that let you do that.
Let's be honest, right? I mean, in Tale with the earlier thing with basically, like, you might only need one unit of Shock Troopers, you know what? It's actually true. You might actually only need one unit of Champions because you have two bears.
Mm.
And by two bears, I mean you have four bears.
You
and the bears are kind of like half units of Champions.
Sorry.
You never only need one unit of bears.
No, the bears are good enough, you should probably take two.
You should always take two units of bears.
Because they're like, okay, so I'll just ambush your bears. And I'm like, oh, guys, I'll ambush your house.
It's recursive bear ambushes.
So
drop bears upon drop bears upon drop bears until you have a bunyip.
It truly is mating season right now. But yeah, like, unless you have, like, abnormally high defense skill, we already just pointed out the problem there, which is that sometimes either your opponent, like, can kill it anyway because they have a caster who's just like, cool, I have Dark Guidance. Hey, hey! And then you're like, oh, fuck. Or it's like, hey, I have a counter to your rule, like, for instance, Sanguine Bond counter Entropic Force.
Yep.
And some people just show up randomly with that.
Anti-healing,
so,
clouds, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is fair to say that there's also the situation where that... So there's kind of an interplay, as you say. There's a situation where you can either go, all right, I'm going to skew as hard as I can on the basis that even if they bring one answer to it, as long as I can kill that one answer before I run out of the things that that answers, then eventually I just steamroller over the top, right? So they've got one great answer to champions. I've got two units of champions. I can trade one unit of champions for their answer. And as long as I kill their answer, the other unit just runs the table because nobody can do it. It does some games, right? Yes. And there's definitely times that you can do that where you can look at your list and go, this model will run the table as long as those four things are dead. And then you can just trade everything into killing those four.
If I kill, like it was against, like with the Dracodile.
Yep.
He saw, these are the three models that threaten my model.
Yep.
I kill those three, my
my Dracodile is safe.
Is safe from everything.
And he was right.
He was right. So I had to play around it. And you can use scenario and clock to play in games where you can't win on attrition.
So I think there are valid arguments to go both ways on the whole skew thing.
Hmm.
I guess it's worth noting that you need to be conscious of what things are quite common that answer your skew as well. Because there is nothing more annoying than having someone come up to you and go, I had this thing, and then everyone I ran into had this counter to it. What are the odds? And you're like, well, everyone has that counter, so the odds were pretty good.
It'd be like going and complaining, man, I ran into all these guys with RFP, and RFP is literally the only thing that fucks my list over.
Yep.
And what are the chances of that? And then my second...
Super huge!
Yeah, and you're like, well...
I was playing Ghost Fleet, and everybody kept on dropping this shit with RFP in it. I couldn't believe it.
Even that, like, I played Grimkin, and it turns out because there's so many people playing RFP... Turns out Grimkin don't like RFP because we rely just as much on killing your stuff and getting corpses as we do you killing our stuff to get corpses, especially when Skinemones and Cage Ragers take corpses for themselves and don't pass it on to anything else, which means if they are the ones doing all the work in your list, you're not actually getting corpses until they're full for your other list for anything else.
Yeah, there's a lot of common things in the game that counter various things. So if you have super high defense, but you have no way to stop it getting knocked down, and you keep running into knockdown, that's because there's a lot of knockdown in the game.
Like Caskims.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Oh, actually,
Can you imagine just letting Kreos one player, just letting them just spawn as many as they wanted, and then just dropping it. And just watching their list implode.
To be fair, the fucking keg stand does give stumbling drunk to the Caskims.
Yeah. If they're within three.
If they're within three.
You can't knock down the Caskims that are within three.
Huh. Well, then they run off.
Only if they get hit.
Only if they don't die.
Two won't cause it.
No. They get made, and he buffs them up, and then he buffs them up the next turn... when he makes one, and then they run off.
Yes. Yeah,
and
yeah.
then they're still stumbling drunk, which means you can't just knock them over to get rid of them.
Oh, really? Because I thought stumbling drunk was only while they're within 3 inches.
I think it's they gain it. Well, let me rule.
I thought it was while they were within. It's models within three, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, okay. But I think they gain stumbling drunk. They don't.
So for everyone who may have forgotten, listeners, Colin's favorite solo in the game, without a doubt, let's be honest, is the Scrap Thrall.
That's a big call. There's a lot of solos I like, but Scrap Thralls are a lot of fun.
I know you're
within, so it's a little different than other rules.
Yeah, I know you, Colin. No, your favorite model by far is the model you have an unnatural love affair for. Because there are models you probably do like more than Scrap Thralls.
There's a lot of solos that I really like in this game.
Correct.
Like Rorsch, for example. Fucking love that guy.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's amazing.
Okay, but Rorsch.
Brian is not a solo. Rorsch is a solo. Brian's like random cannonball from Rorsch. Like, Brian is Rorsch's fourth gun. It just only has one shot.
just like Mechanitrolls are the gun for the Sepulchre.
Yeah, they were.
Exactly. They were.
Not anymore. Now they're just... Well, they still are, but the Sepulchre now hasn't got a gun.
They're more like a holding pad... holding pen for Brute Thralls at this point, but
they're holding pen for CID. That's what they are.
You're going to be waiting on that a long time, mate.
Yeah. but Scrap Thralls are good.
And it turns out that it's taken about half a year or so for everyone to realize that Caskims are basically Scrap Thralls with AD and slightly better stats
and weirder rules
and more randomness.
Oh,
but
man.
But
really weird.
They're
rules.
Really fun to play.
They are really fun to play.
Way more effective than I ever thought they would.
They're a lot more fun to play than even I anticipated them being. They were a lot of fun.
In addition, they
just do enough damage to even high level things, and they're going to kill most low level armor anyway. So it doesn't feel too broken that they kill everything.
In addition, it pains me to admit, but I never really thought of this, but this battle engine here, the Madcap, is basically Colin's it's got to be your favorite. Sorry, not battle engine. Weapon crew.
Yeah,
it's probably going to be your favorite weapon.
Not only does it make scraps for all these things, it has two random dudes who actually have Molotov cocktails for no apparent reason. And then when someone blows it up, it then does another random explosion in a random place. Which isn't that random. You get to pick kind of where it goes.
You basically pick, and then it drifts from there. So it's more like pick a spot within, like...
So vent fumes is not optional.
No.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. You don't want
it. It also affects opponents' models as well.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of want Getterix now to be stumbling drunk. Just goes in there.
I mean...
Oh, no. Rock goes in there, has a bit of a brew, and then fucks off.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to rethink that unit then, because that's really interesting. You can just
it's got a lot of weird integrations.
Yes.
Like, interactions, not integrations.
Okay.
But the differentiation the gradient is fucking amazing.
Yeah. I feel that this pun has to be said. Okay, so Colin, how do you score a point, or rather, how do you cap a flag with a caskimp? Because, you know...
Really easy.
You can't normally do that, because as soon as the caskimp runs into the flag, it blows
up. That's not how you do it, though. You put the trap, the madcap behind the flag, and then he makes the caskimp exactly 4 inches in front of him on the flag, and so then you score the point, and then the next turn he runs off, and you make a new caskimp to score the flag and rinse repeat for eternity.
I am not yet clear on whether or not he actually gets to run off or whether he immediately explodes
because he's touching the flag.
So I don't know.
Well, he doesn't come in contact with the flag because
he's already in contact with it,
but he comes in play.
No, so when you place him is fine. The question is when he activates the next turn because he can't forfeit movement. Does he start his advance already in contact with the flag? In which case, does he count as in contact? I don't think so, but I don't know.
Will, either Will, I don't even care which Will is even listening to this.
Any of the Wills.
Will Treffery, Will whatever. There's got to be some Wills out there.
There's a lot of Wills.
Answer
where there's a Will, there's a Will.
Email woodsdownunder@gmail.com to let us know.
This model explodes if it contacts another model while advancing or if it becomes knocked down.
So flags are models. It is in contact with it. Before it starts advance, but as soon as it actually begins advancing, it's not.
I've got a better idea than this. Sorry. Travis, I don't even know if you listen to our cast, but like, please help
us. Somebody. Either way, even if that happens, it's still gone.
Yes.
It still produces points. It's fine.
And let's be honest, we did a Grimkin cast a while back, and we kind of shitted on Bump in the Night, with, I think, fairly good reason.
I wasn't there.
No, you weren't. And that's the thing, is like, we didn't really cover madcaps at all, and there's a couple of reasons why. Namely, none of the Grimkin players, even though we had four of them, or 3.5.
I haven't really tried it. But that was also because we were talking from a CanCon's perspective, from a
WTC
perspective. When madcaps were not available for WTC. Sure.
And it's
but you also pooped on all of the other solos, including the tree. And the tree is amazing.
Well, we did.
I have not been able to get.
We didn't poop on what's his face at all. Like
Lord Longfellow. Sure.
The Glimmerins are also really good. Trapperkins are really good. I have actually no problems except for the tree and the madcap. And madcaps I didn't disparage. I just never played.
We never actually covered it. But the thing is, right, it's something that they should consider with all factions, even small ones. Like, Crucible Guard, for the record, people listening to this, right, the first spoilers of units have come out on a Chain Attack episode, which was basically about, like, one of their chemical rockets, which is used as a debuff thing. It turns out, even with small factions, right, there's just a lot of depth.
There's a lot of rules.
There's a lot of also models that don't get released. Like, you may have the rules for it, but it's a natural inclination of War Machine players to only play what they can play. Because let's be honest, right? If you can't afford to buy, say, Old Witch, I have no inclination of ever buying Old Witch. And Colin, you mean... Or the Hooch Hauler, right? You will not...
Whether that thing's got good rules or not doesn't really matter if you're never going to own it.
Exactly. But the thing is, right, is that you might be more inclined to own it if you knew it did good stuff, but it's a bit of a catch-22 because you won't really test it.
Yep.
Apart from maybe in a slightly of abortive way, and then occasionally for lols when you put two Hooch Haulers together because you want to give them both veteran leader.
Or you just want all the bears.
Well...
Veteran leader bears that are stumbling drunk.
Anger all the bears.
Let's be honest, right? The maximum bear cavalry where you have two Hooch Haulers because they have bears, and then you have the bears. Battle bears, and then you have Brunner Lug for extra bears, and then Bearcur is the leader, and then you probably have a Glacier King in there because a Glacier King with veteran leader is actually quite good.
So you're just going to mod your Glacier King, have like a bear.
Wearing a bear skin.
A Glacier King with Borga 2.
Do you take bears?
Yeah.
Is there some kind of a bear beast that we can take?
Can we take...
Just Can we take my mauler in bear claw?
Yeah,
acceptable.
Or yes. Can I just?
Why don't we just
We'll
get a bunch of Wartwolf Stalkers, because nobody uses those fuckers anymore, and we'll just chop their heads off and stick them on top of Maulus and various other shit and call them all bears. It's fine.
In fact, I've actually figured it out. I'm pretty sure Becca's elite cadre is just give bear skins to everyone, nice. All of his trolls, and just say, you guys are all off kid now.
You're all adopted into the tribe now. You're wearing the skins of bears. You're fine.
Yes.
Nice.
We've done it. We've cracked the code. But yeah, like, that's the thing, right? The Hooch Hauler is a model that I don't think I'll play
against. I don't know the rules.
And I don't really even know the rules.
Apparently it fires pigs, right? Apparently it fires pigs?
No, it fires barrels by using pigs to launch them. So it has, like, a
catapult,
It has, like, a catapult. So there's a barrel, and then there's a plank of wood.
This is nowhere near as good as when I thought it fired pigs. You really ruined this model for me.
So they put another barrel of oil and fire on this side, and then a pig jumps off onto the other end of the plank and launches the barrel at people, which is why it's ranging.
Okay, that's okay then. That's cool.
Yes.
I figured it was more like it
and
launches.
And then they have two spray tents because they have guns.
Yeah, let's be honest. Those are the actual important things. It's got two fire breathers on it. And the other thing
is... No, they're not fire breathers. They have hoses.
Oh, they have hoses.
I knew about that. I figured in my mind that it was a case of, like, you get the unlucky pig, you throw it at something, and then the bears chase after it. It's like, and then you fry it while it's in the air, so it smells delicious pig cooking. And then it's just like bears really, really, really anxious to chase down this little pig that's screaming and burning as it flies towards the enemy.
Wow, that's dark.
Yeah.
That's pretty...
But think of the impact attacks. I mean, those bears are going to have serious speed by the time they hit you. Yeah, I bet they do.
No, they actually do.
Yes, they're dragging a fucking, like, 3.5-ton keg.
I think other than battle bears, every bear has knockdown.
If battle bears had knockdown, I would straight up just, like, either quit or change factions to bears.
I'm not going to lie. I've been thinking...
I'm just going to join the bear faction.
Oh, my God. I didn't... Okay, I've now found out...
If I could have bears as a minion unit in any of my other factions, I would take them.
Oh, great. So you already have Valkyries.
I can see them becoming a minion unit.
They'd be better than Valkyries.
They would be definitely
significant margin.
Did you know that bears have unyielding?
Yes,
we talked
about
that. That's why they're armor 19 with 8 boxes in melee.
I
21 if there's a stone.
Guess what?
Chris.
I did not
21.
21. Oh my god, that's champions
and
stat.
Armor 14.
Chosen stats.
And defense 14 if the Madrak's around.
Oh god.
They're really good.
They're really, really good.
They have prowl. So if you take
they also have prowl.
They can sit in a concealment cloud and be stealth. Or sit within 3 inches of a
And they're inexplicably speed 7.
Yes. Well, actually, that makes a lot of sense because they're really probably quite hungry.
Speed 7. Battle bears are speed 7.
You know who's not? Lug.
Berka is speed 7.
You know who's not? Lug. And he doesn't even have anyone on him.
No, but he's like carrying, what's his face?
He's not really.
Literally, just figuratively.
That's why he's
Colin,
shoulders.
Colin, he's a bear who's abnormally large.
And slow.
And the other bears are abnormally fast.
Right. So who's always full of power? Feed your bears power first. They'll be abnormally fast.
Your bears will win at everything forever.
Lug is just slower than average, and battle bears are just less knockdowners than average. They don't knock
have less
down.
Capacity for knocking people down.
That's a better word. Yeah.
Sure.
All right, go for it.
Their capacity for knockdown is lower than other bears.
Yes.
Sure. Reduced capacity.
And
they traded power for speed. Yeah. Except that I think they're power 15, aren't they?
Yes.
15,
are they
15?
I'm pretty sure they're
15, 16.
They are. Oh my!
For God's sake!
No, no, no. They're 13, 13, 14.
Thank you.
Yes.
Which
so
is 15, 15, 16 weak gang. Okay.
Yes.
And then if you take Coldstone, they go to
17, 18.
Yes.
So we have successfully established.
That is the correct response.
So we've successfully established on this cast.
Oh,
if you haven't
struggling.
Told, is that? Yeah. And
yeah. Jimmy is having a hard time.
Yeah.
He looks like he's seen some bears.
I think Jimmy did probably get wrecked by some bears. Jimmy's, for those who didn't
I feel
catch,
for you, Jimmy. I feel
he's
for
our
you.
Current, he's our current guest host, which is a cockroach.
He's slowly making his way towards the couch.
I'll give him back his tissues. he wants the tissues. All right.
I think he wants the tissues because he's the same, very similar color to the packaging.
Probably.
So he's like, I can hide here and die comfortably. Well, unless they're just some idiots talking.
This day can't get any worse. Oh god, they're talking about Becker again.
if Becker wasn't so annoying to transport, just because he's just slightly too large and weirdly shaped for all my bags, so he would have to be carried separately, I probably would have brought him, just because he's fun.
He's pretty cool.
He seems fucking good.
Bears are good.
Bears?
In general.
Bears are good. All right,
his
so...
His bear's got trash. So it knocks down the bear and trashes the model. So it's like, impact attack. Knocks down, okay.
Extra damage.
Can you still buy attacks with your horse?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, so...
You 100% can. You can also boost.
Why would you need to when you're a weapon master?
Why wouldn't you?
Oh, that's true.
Gratuitousness, basically.
You can buy more attacks.
True.
Oh, man.
Barry is disgusting.
I mean, yes, against a knockdown model that's in his range, he's pretty good at killing it. He's pretty much butcher at that point.
No, no, he knocks it down himself by boosting the impact attack.
Yes.
Can you do that?
Yes, you can as well.
Yes, you boost the impact attack, then you just do your charge damage, and then you just
actually,
buy attacks.
Can you boost
the
impact attacks? I can't remember.
I don't know if you can or not.
L. It doesn't.
That's why I asked, and you guys seemed...
Yes.
Yeah, well...
He's a bear, why not?
The problem is...
Yes.
The problem is...
What is the rule that favors the bear? That's probably the answer. Shiko PP is actually run by bears.
Pro bears.
I mean, they're in Seattle. That's the West Coast.
Is that the
tons
bear country?
Of grizzlies.
There you go.
Shit tons.
I thought they had orcas. I mean, I know they have orcas.
Those are bears of the sea.
Ambushing orcas.
Next.
Only available in shallow water terrain. Just any water terrain. As you walk over, it's just... Surprise! Orca unit! They've got very slight reach out of the water because they do the whole, like, up onto the beach and then wiggle their way back in again.
Trolls on the Arcana.
Yep.
Summon orcas, bears of the sea.
I feel if that was a strategy game, that'd be their
upgraded ambush rule, which is they can either come in from the side or if there's a shallow water terrain.
Which the glacier, the sea king can make.
Nice.
There you go.
Summoning
portable
orcas.
Summon bears.
Again, if any Will is listening to this, and more importantly, if any Will hasn't turned off the cast yet, listen to us drunkenly ramble about shit. Summon orcas. Do it. It'll be a good idea.
Bears of the sea.
Bears of the sea. All right.
That's their new thing. It's not Trolls of the North. The next one is actually like... Everyone was like, but they're migrating to a new home. Everyone forgot that in between they were on a boat. And there was time for a whole
Where
new culture.
Sea Kings come
exactly.
From?
Yes.
Exactly.
You know what was holding the Sea Kings prisoner? Orcas!
The savage orca tribes of the Western Oceans.
I actually don't think this is going to be a troll CID. I suspect this will be their next
faction. It's a whole new faction.
It's a whole new faction, yeah.
It's just totem hunters riding orcas. That's the zoo.
So I was actually really like...
It's always got a trident, right? Yeah. It's got an axe.
We can scratch it. No. It has
Helcax, the weird...
Wait. You mean the Sea King?
No, the totem hunter.
Oh, totem hunter. Yeah, it's got like a...
lightning shape.
Yeah. I thought you were going to meant the Sea King, which has, by the way, one of the many boat anchors, which was thrown overboard and cut.
That's what's been holding him down all this time. As the trolls were migrating and anchoring each evening, they were just...
No, that's how they
just saved them, leading them to the Sea Kings and becoming the true faction that they are.
I think we've got some fan fiction coming here that's going to be amazing.
I mean, you have written fan fiction for Judgment, so if I see some orca references involving, and by fan fiction I mean actual fiction, because if I see any orca references in Judgment, I'll know where they came from.
Could happen.
I want this to happen.
I'm unfortunately going to have to ask this. Like, does anyone have anything like productive to talk about?
No, I'm done.
Okay, fair enough then.
Well, we have some Fire Emblem to do.
We've already deleted my pulls from Fire Emblems, and now it's up to Brian.
To be fair, there was only one impressive pull, and it was made by me.
That's true, but it was only good because of the prequel of me just pulling all shit for two full pulls, and then you going, I always pull a five-star, and then pulling a five-star.
On the first roll, no less, which is like, oh my goodness. All right.
Classy.
My friend Julian's like, Brian, why do you play this? Because I'm like, because you always get rare stuff. He's like, no, you don't. And I'm like, yes, you do.
I went through a period of getting heaps of rare stuff right at the start.
Mm.
like massive amounts. I don't think so. Chris didn't.
No.
But I went through a massive period of pulling five
stars.
That's
why you rolled bad on the Capcom.
Yeah, probably. Yes.
You used all your luck on
the I get good luck somewhere, bad luck somewhere, whatever.
It comes and goes. It does. I get the... Okay, so a couple of things is like, I think next a few episodes, one of the ones we want to talk about is Retribution.
Regretribution.
Retrobroken.
Yes, and one of the reasons why is I feel that faction has had a bit of a, how should I put it, interesting recent
kicking
thing.
Kicking the nuts from the internet.
Did we get Hickman on too?
Sure. To talk about, right? Yeah, fuck it. We'll see who's up for it.
He's one of the crusaders fighting the good fight.
Keeping them down.
No, the opposite.
Oh, right.
He literally summons Tomo to Thresh to start bashing.
And then the other one we'd like to talk about, look, at some point, Appy was on the last cast, and I'd like to get him back, because I feel that we could actually have a coherent cast talking about jank and stuff, but this cast was hijacked by bears and orcas and other sea-related...
God, that's fairly likely to happen to every subsequent cast, to be really honest. Like, we could probably change the podcast name to Hijacked by Bears. I think that would actually be fine. We haven't nominated what the bears
we're
of the air are yet.
There.
What's an air bear? Think about
a
that
drop
for next
bear.
Time.
It's a drop
no,
bear.
I'm just thinking about what flying unit can count as the bears of the air.
There aren't that many flying units.
No, there aren't. And it would have to be tanky. I don't think there are any.
No.
Yeah.
All right, PP, please work.
Griffins are not the bears of the air.
No, neither are Angelii.
Too flappy.
Yeah.
Anything in Legion just does not fit that.
You really need, like, a Kador flying unit. Like, something abnormally
I still think an attack helicopter for Strakhov would be amazing.
What the fuck? Sure, that makes perfect sense.
Alright, I think we have an idea for Strakhov.
Almost
three.
As good as Kruger 3 on a cloud, which was actually seriously thrown around as a battle engine caster for a while by the community.
Oh, side
note. Like, you should just make a battle engine where it's just a cloud with Kruger standing on top of it monkey style.
So it's
no, that is wrong. You need Strakhov and I had a tank. Boom, 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 boom. Or, you know, just someone on bears. Just being pulled by bears all day. Madrak 4, bear sleigh.
Nice.
Bear wagon? Bear anything.
Cyrus. Just the bear essentials.
Bear essentials.
It's just a huge base bear.
So is there...
It's Madrak 4, but the fluff is that he was eaten by a giant bear, and now he just controls it from the inside, puppet style. He just, like, pokes it in the liver and it turns right. He's, like, looking out its throat, going, come on, a little bit to the left, a little bit to the left, all right.
And then Nemo has to build a mecha bear to combat Madrak's bear.
I feel that at this point, I should mention the actual Kador unit that we should be making, which is the Man of War Drakens, except we replace all the Drakens with on bears. We need bear cavalry. It's Kador. We need bear cavalry.
The dragon horse is probably a bear in disguise.
Yes.
The bears make Butcher's Arguses look shit too. Those should have been bears.
You're right.
His unit would be a lot better if those were bears.
But he needed puppies to get over the emotional distress he was living through.
Can't he just have a bear?
Bears are less good for emotional distress because they cause so much.
We could have made them smaller. They would have been medium-based bears.
Well, then,
little bears.
You do realize that's basically an Argus, which is effectively... But let's be honest. Like, the Argos are... The thing is, right, is that... No. They're incomparable because, let's be honest, Butcher's Arguses, they're good boys.
Mm.
They're good boys, Brent. They're all good dogs. Emphasis on the dogs part because they're Arguses that technically two dogs.
I always thought it was weird with those Arguses because they made an Argus that looks like a dog that's used for hunting, and then you go to Kador
and they're
Argus... like, we have tame Argi and they look like wolves. And I'm like,
wait a minute,
what? That one there looks like a dog and behaves like a dog. What is this happening?
What have you done to this dog?
Wild Argus is tame Argus, and then you have a tame dog as a wild Argus.
I believe I
what
can,
is happening?
I believe I can answer that with one word. Powerthirst.
Mm. Feed
your Argus is powerthirst. They'll grow abnormally large.
I'm pretty sure. And an extra hand. And it probably explains a lot about Butcher.
I feel like we've just drifted for the last 35, 40 minutes, so Brian, you're going to have to cut that out.
Keep it in with a disclaimer.
As I said, we were trying out some crippled system.
I'm going to say that this all went downhill.
We talked about tangents, we talked about nothing, it's all good.
We talked about bears.
We did talk a lot about bears.
Bears are...
And we even tried to be vaguely constructive, and then, Brian, you mentioned the anchor story, and it was all bits were off.
It was a good story.
It was a real good story. In my mind, they were just throwing them over the side and letting the rope trail out, and they were just like, I don't understand why this isn't working. But yours was actually better. They were like, these are one-use anchors.
All right.
All right, for those still willing, we're going to start pulling fire.
Let's do this. This is happening.
Here we go. We got the music going.
Brian's got the music.
All right.
What are you going to go with? Are you going to summon from the chance to get Ike, or are you going to summon from the chance to get these idiots?
These idiots.
Yeah. Okay. That's one freebie.
All right, let's do this.
Use it wisely.
Oh, yeah.
Where are we starting?
Oh,
we're going all
green.
We're shooting for Brave Ike. If you get Brave Ike, I'm going to be pissed. Because I've been seeking that fucker for a while. First chance. Brian, gold pool extraordinaire, calls himself a bast.
Four stars, not bad.
Yeah, what a bast.
Okay, green one next. Pay four.
You should pay four.
Confirm.
Second chance at Brave Ike.
I get three.
He does get three shots at Brave Ike.
This is ridiculous.
And then a shot at Brave Lynn. That is not
Raven.
That is
Raven.
Another
force. I always find it weird that
he's
a sword.
So Raven.
He has a sword, but he's an axe user.
Oh, yeah. No, that's because
he's a mercenary in the game.
He's a hero.
Yeah, so here.
Heroes and heroes can use either, which is why you get some sword ravens and some axe ravens.
There's only one Raven.
Yeah, it's so
that's
Raven.
That's so Raven. Oh, I
GG.
Gunter.
I had Gunter before. Yeah. They're all four stars.
You do
so
want to keep a Gunter. Because you're going to want to give his base
skills
else.
His main use is basically giving his, like, cavalry bonus to people.
He's got one of the good calf buffs.
He also has rage. No, wait, that's the other guy, Jürgen.
So he's the Brave Lynn, if you're really fucking good.
No, that's the cleric. Three stars.
Lame.
Is this my first?
Lucina! Here she comes! Come on! Here's your blue pool!
I don't even think Lucina was even in this one. It probably
was
going to be.
Was.
No, this is Neff. It's going to be Neff. Ugh.
Oh, hello.
It's Jürgen.
Oh. Sad. No.
All right.
Five pools.
We're officially submitting a bug.
Oh,
to...
Well, you oh, got, you have a new set.
Yeah, go for it. This one's a good set. Yeah.
Value set. This is that you got shit colors.
size. Seriously, an
angsty ninja. Yeah, get through all those shitty colourless ones first. All
right, if you pull three phase like I did, like... No,
it's not
going to
happen.
Not going to happen.
I'm doing pretty bad this time, guys.
It's okay. You're just building your way up. That's how it normally works.
Three colours is pretty shit.
Yeah. I got five in my first set today, so deal with it. Yeah, there's another issue, Sarah. Yeah, he's strong. Strong pulls.
All right. I'm actually really annoyed now that apparently we overwrote Colin's original pulls. Ryan.
What's it going to be? Any second now, you could turn it around. This is a blue pool. It's looking pretty mediocre, I'm not going to lie to you.
Roderick is
a steady squire.
He's at least fine.
He's okay. You're never going to use him, but he's okay.
I've used him.
What for?
Fire thing lances. It turns out decent.
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh!
There it is! Vanguard legend Ike.
You piece of shit.
You genius, you. Look at you go.
Fucking scumbag.
Hey, there we go.
Earth blessing.
You do.
Yeah, you,
comes
you did
with him.
Because you got Ike.
So now your question is, do you go...
I only have...
Oh, he's a chance to rate it. Oh, not now. Lame.
No.
You don't have any more, do you?
Go back to the Ike one.
No, he's got no more. He's only got 15.
One?
Yeah, go for it.
Can't afford. He's only got 15.
He's got 29. He's 29.
Oh, sorry. I was reading your feathers. How do you have 15 feathers?
I don't know.
They're like 39,000 feathers. And I spent 40,000 like 3 days ago. All right, Ike. Oh, wait. You're going with the same...
Yeah, do the same one. This one's a good one. It's like...
Yeah,
base. The base stats are like huge.
Yeah.
All right, now you have three chances to summon Triple X.
Triple I.
Here's your chance for Gaunther, the voice of the Whatsamidoover.
Now I need like 4 ikes. Is that what you're
time? You don't want 4 ikes, but hey, hey, you really like that guy.
Get
yourself some more bast.
All right.
Let's go with one red.
Here comes an Ike. Triple down on Ike. Let's do this.
Yep.
Merge some Ike. That's not Ike.
That's not Ike.
Pala.
Oh.
One of the flyy ladies.
It's the one that keeps randomly killing your guys because she has like the wings of what's it, and then teleports.
Mercy.
Yeah, and then teleports next to you, and then
sad times.
It's really sad when one of your green mages dies to that.
Hello,
Maria.
4 stars though.
Yeah, when you're in those stupid challenge maps at Infernal, and then one of the characters has Wings of Mercy, and you're like, notice, and you're like, this is going well, this is going, oh god, oh god.
Yeah, it's when the Black Knight randomly teleports out.
Oh! No! Double down on Ike! And he's still got one more red pool to go! Here's the chance! Here's the chance for triple down on Ike!
Oh my god.
Wait for it! Wait for it!
I want you to
hit it one time!
Oh, Jesus Christ. You do realize this is technically a bad thing you've had twice the...
Oh! It looked like it for a second.
No, that's Elwood. I'm happy to get Elwood.
All right, can you, like, screen cap that? Because that's a disgust... Oh, my God.
He's pulled himself 2 arcs in 2 pulls.
All right, for anyone who, like, listened to all of that, thank you for listening to another episode of Dark Guidance.
I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all. It's been real.